Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Rachel Sheedy is here. Rachel is a new friend. She's the editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report, which 90,000, like almost 100,000 people are checking out this monthly publication, and it's all about how to retire properly, how to do some planning, and how to pay attention to all the different resources that you have at your disposal, so you make sure you do it right. How did I do, Rachel? Did I do pretty good?
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. Well.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know you know this, but I love one of the badges of honor of my show is that for probably a dozen or more years, I did a show every week with mostly with Joan Pride. You probably remember Joan.
I do. Mm-hmm.
And she's moved on now, but she did my show every week. We did the Kiplinger Letter every week.
Oh, wow. That's
and then
great.
And then for about 17 years, every year at this time, literally this month, we would interview Austin Kiplinger, the father of the founder, the patriarch of Kiplinger, during his birthday week, which was also during the anniversary week. And so I like talking about that. I like telling people about how much fun we used to have with Kiplinger. Well, so you got some big shoes to fill here, Rachel.
I do.
No pressure, Mr. You know, stepping into Austin's shoes. That's no pressure, right?
Oh yeah.
So okay, we got about almost 80 million baby boomers who are shuffling off in toward the fourth quarter of their career, their life. They're the leading edge of the baby boomers have already hit retirement age. I don't know how many thousand every day are being added to that. What's it looking like across that landscape out there?
Well, yeah, definitely, you know, the leading edge of baby boomers are hitting, you know, their mid-60s. Full retirement age for most of the older boomers is age 66, and that's when you can take, you know, your full retirement Social Security benefit. So it's, you know, a big shift, and baby boomers really need to be aware of the rules. There are ways to maximize those benefits, but if you aren't up to speed, not educated, you might miss out on boosting your future retirement security for your.
What are you finding, Rachel, about the preparedness of baby boomers for retirement? What do you know in general about that?
Well, I mean, you can see figures that some baby boomers have only like $50,000 saved in their 401k, and that there's some real concerns that there's going to be a retirement crisis, that people haven't saved enough. And it's a big task to create a pot of money that's going to last you 30 or 40 years. And, you know, and how do you make it last that 30 or 40 years? It's a complicated thing, and people are busy with their lives, and, you know, it's a hard thing to do. So we're here to help,
right.
The publication. We, you know, try to lay out strategies, and, you know, we're focusing on the decumulation stage, you know, how you withdraw it smartly and
right.
Spend it. Just hopefully, by the time you're reading us, you already do have some money saved. But
I think what we're looking at, though, Rachel, I don't know if you agree with me, and I think what we're looking at is a generation of retired workers. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of people,
and maybe not
just because they have to work. I'm going to be one of those people. I'm going to be a retired worker, not because I have to work, but because I want to work.
Right, yeah. I think the definition of retirement is really changing. And you know, it's how we call ourselves Retirement Report, but we definitely do write about, you know, people who are still working later and what that could mean.
See, my definition
really
of my definition of retirement is waiting to die.
Ah, well. I think of it as, you know, living a good life.
Nobody wants to see what the world looks like if Jim Blasingame wakes up and doesn't have anything to do. That's kind of dangerous.
Yes, but you know, you want to be able to choose to do it versus, you know, being forced.
There you go. That's an excellent point. I agree with that. So, okay, talk to us about what we need to be paying attention to these days.
Well, you know, like I said, Social Security, that's one of the big topics that I cover. It's, you know, one of the topics we get the most number of questions about. And recently, you know, wrote a couple stories on survivor benefits, which people really don't want to think about because they don't want to think about, you know, dying and what that can mean. When you're down, if you're a married couple and you lose one spouse and you're down, you know, you only got one spouse benefit to live on, it's really important to think ahead. And so one way you can do that while you, both of you are still living is to look and see who has the higher benefit. Even if it's by $100, one of those is likely going to be higher. And that's the benefit that you want to focus on. You want to try to delay that benefit as long as possible. People who are, you know, you hit full retirement age, you could take 100% of your benefit then. But if you wait and take that benefit up to age 70, you can earn 8% a year in delayed retirement credit. Mm-hmm. So 32% for people whose full retirement age is 66. And that can make a big difference because that extra boost will last the lifetime of the surviving spouse, the second spouse to die. So say if that's the wife and she lives to, you know, age 95, that benefit
is a lot of money.
That's
the thing you have to decide. I know when people are looking at this, they're thinking, okay, if I could draw X amount of dollars at 66, but I can draw a third more at 4 years later, but what about that money? What about 4 years of checks that I'd be missing? And you do the math on that, and you can calculate how long it would take you to eat that up in the future. And a lot of people are saying, well, what if I don't live that long, right? But which is a good argument. But as you're saying, if you have a spouse who it will probably live longer than you, either and especially if the husband's older and the wife is younger or whatever, if she's going to live longer than you, not only is she younger, but also women live longer than men. If you wait longer, the family benefit, isn't that how you need to look at it? Not what's good for me, the individual, over this at this point, but what's the family going to benefit?
Well, exactly right. So if you're a married couple, you've got to think not just of yourself, you've got to think of your spouse as well. And it could be that you are the one who lasts the longest, you never know.
But
you want to, like, protect the future of the surviving spouse.
Because the survivor gets the higher benefit when the other spouse dies, right?
Yes.
They move up to the higher benefit. We're gonna talk some more about this and give you some more details on this with our new friend Rachel Sheedy. She's with the Kiplinger folks, and she manages the Kiplinger Retirement Report. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.